You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
The 3CR Gardening Show is coming to you today from the Woi Wurrung Nation. We acknowledge the Wurundjeri people as the traditional owners of this land. We recognise the practices of care and cultivation of the land and waters by the First Peoples and pay our respects to their elders past and present. Wherever you are and wherever you garden, we encourage you to know whose land you're on. Are tuned in to the 3CR Gardening Show this lovely fresh Sunday morning. Today we are coming to you live from the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show at Carlton Gardens. It's Chloe Foster here with John Arnott. We've got a rolling panel of guests this morning and we are being hosted, instead of a shed like we were last year, we're being hosted by the Gardening Australia marquee.
The salubrious surroundings of the ABC Gardening Australia marquee. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's lovely. We're watching Mifkus just very gently wake up on this Sunday morning. We got here quite early. Thanks to Madison from the 3CR studio, who's got the tech working this morning. I think, what time did you get up this morning, Madison?
About
4 o'clock. So that's an early Sunday morning for the team. But it's lovely to be here at Mifkus. You've spent a fair bit of this week at Mifkus, Chloe.
Yeah, it takes over my life for about 1 week a year.
You're home away from home.
Yes, it is. I've been here every day except for Friday.
Right.
And I just love it. I love it so much. It's just fun catching up with gardening people. And
it's the gathering of the clan?
Yes.
That sort of thing?
Yes. Yeah. So people come from interstate, visitors as yeah. well, but horticulturalists come from interstate just to, you know, for work.
Because it is what it is. It's such a significant show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of significant on the, it's a bit Chelsea-like, it's a bit Hampton Court-like, it's a bit Ellerslie, it's... You know, it's a really significant international garden show.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, well, I haven't been to any of the other international garden shows, but I think we're up there.
Yeah, it's on that scale.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
Years and years and years ago, the Royal Botanic Gardens Victoria, they won at Chelsea, or they got gold at Chelsea. Mm. I think RBGMV Cramp Australian Garden might have been at Chelsea 2 years, but I actually went to the Hampton Court Flower Show and did a build, and it was just one of the most remarkable things.
Yeah, it is quite amazing being a part of building a show garden. I've witnessed Emmeline Bowman 2 years ago
right.
when she clean swept all of the awards with her amazing garden, and that year I was involved with Nadia Cole of Platylobium
okay.
Landscape Design with her show garden. I was helping her out as well, and that was just a phenomenal process to watch. Like the work that goes into it
yeah.
is insane. It is months and months and even years for some people
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I guess, I mean, we've got a bunch of people that have got either vendors that are selling stuff here or have been doing some of the show gardens. So we'll do a bit of a deep dive into their process.
Mm.
But yeah, it just doesn't happen overnight. It's, you know, it's the public see 5 days of show, but boy oh boy
yeah.
there's the human endeavor that sits behind it is just remarkable.
Yeah, it's a massive show. We're so lucky in Melbourne to have something of this scale.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other garden shows that are equally as good in their own ways around Australia and, you know, around the world, but we are lucky to have this massive whopper in Melbourne that we can come to.
And smack dab in the middle of Melbourne in the yeah. Carlton Gardens at the Royal Exhibition Centre. It's a real treat to yeah. be here this morning.
And I love where we are this morning.
Yeah, it's good. It is. It's
Listeners
really
Listeners might be able to hear some of the birdies going off.
Yeah, a few seagulls. And
there might be some police that go by at some point.
Yeah. These microphones are quite hot, so we just better make sure that we stay nice when we're off the mic, Chloe. Yes. I'm looking at you.
Oh, come on.
Chloe, I saw that you've done a couple of lectures and a couple of speaking events at as a part of the program this year.
Yeah, I was on the main stage the other morning. The main
Good for stage. You.
Oh, it's a treat. With Sandra Swartz, who wrote Restore.
Yeah, nice.
3CR Stalwart, and Tina Crawford and Lisa Ellis, who are the authors of Plantology, which is a phenomenal publication as well. So one of the new things about the show this year is the Mythgus Book Nook.
The Book Nook. Your book is for sale at the Book Nook?
Yeah, The Rookie Gardener is there. It's on the upper floor at the Nicholson Street end.
Inside the exhibition building?
Inside the building.
Okay, so you go to the level two, level one?
Yes.
Not the ground level?
Not ground level.
And there's a bookstore there, the Book Nook.
Yeah, near where all the artist displays are. And the Rookie Gardener is there, along with Sandra's Restore.
Yep.
Connie's book, Your Asian Veggie Patch. Penny Woodward and Karen Sutherland's Tomato, just a 3CR garden bookstore,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, that sounds like
and some others too, so, yeah.
We talk about the diversity and the quality of the people that come in to 3CR as panellists, but it really is a remarkable body of people that volunteer their Sunday mornings, throughout the year to support the gardening show. It's the 50th year of 3CR this year. And, as a gardening show community, we're thinking that we should do something to mark that moment. I know the studio 3CR is doing some stuff that we'll tap into. But you can listen to that magpie lark.
Yeah.
It's coming through loud and clear.
Yeah, it's coming through my headphones.
Virginia and I had the pure delight of catching up with Roger and Gwen Elliott during the week to go back into the archive. And... wow, Gwen was a phenomenal documenter. Mm. There are, I don't know, 15 years of 3CR question and answers, which have been documented in exercise books that by Gwen. And she had a certain format. It was, who's on the panel, questions on the left-hand side, and any particular note. It's fascinating to track the topics over the years because I think they have changed. I think there's been a sort of an evolution of the questions. Fewer questions about azaleas, fewer questions about pesticides and herbicides. And it's interesting.
Oh,
I think there's been some trends.
Yeah.
So I think 3CR has been a mirror on what's happening in the gardening world.
Interesting.
It is really interesting. But the number of people that are documented over that 15, 20-year period... and that's 20 years out of 48.
Yeah.
It is, it's a bit of a treat being associated with this and, having the opportunities to come to Mythgus and it's great.
The outside broadcasts are fun.
They are fun.
I mean, they're very early mornings for us.
As Madison can vouch for, yes indeed. And we've also got Di here. And Doug in the studio.
Yeah, hello to Doug and
hey,
Amy
Doug.
In the studio. Thank you guys. It takes a lot of people and even the crew at the station during office hours, it takes a lot to get particularly these outside broadcasts going. So thanks to everyone that's helped.
Yeah, it's a treat.
Yeah.
Book sales, how is the Rookie Gardener tracking?
Really well.
That's
Publishers
good.
Are happy. They said that it's been steadily being reordered by bookshops.
Good.
Which is positive.
That's great.
And
it's been in the world for 6 months, not quite.
Yes, yeah, six months. Yep, we'll say 6 months. Yep.
Great.
Still a little baby.
Still a little baby book.
Yeah, I've had some wonderful people come up and say how much they're enjoying it.
Nice.
They've learnt some stuff. And one of my friends actually sent me some photos yesterday of their front garden reno that they've been doing. And she's also done a couple of projects from the book in her backyard.
Nice.
Very, very keen.
Nice.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about a dopamine garden in a few minutes. Does that give you a little dopamine hit each time you get that sort of affirmation?
It's the praise is a little bit addictive. And this whole show is a sensory, it's a dopamine hit, it's a sensory overload.
Sure
I'm going to need to go into a padded room for a few days after this. And I reckon Chloe Thompson won't be far behind me.
Well, Chloe is kind of the face of... this year. It's quite, well, and maybe last year as well, but for a little while. It's fantastic.
She's been hosting the main stage inside the exhibition building for 3 or 4 years now, maybe since the COVID lockdowns, where the show wasn't running.
Right, post-COVID, yeah.
Post-COVID, thank you. And she does a phenomenal job hosting that. She's here every single day. And for the nights, she's here until the end. So, you know, a couple of close to 12-hour days. And she looks as fresh as a daisy all the time. I don't know how she does it.
How is that even possible, Chloe?
It's not fair. there's a themed outfit. There's a botanical themed outfit every day. She organises the horticulturalist Q&A panels so that, visitors can ask, the professionals, their gardening questions.
Great.
And there's been author chats related to the book nook as well.
Nice.
Floral demonstrations.
Yeah.
And other talks on a whole range of topics.
I mean, that's the thing, that within the exhibition building, the floriculture displays, there's the show gardens and the, the horticultural vendors. But, God, some of that stuff that happens in the exhibition building, the floriculture is just next level.
I know.
Remarkable.
It is quite remarkable. This year, one thing that was really cool, they brought back the live demonstration competition.
Okay.
And we've got a number of panellists coming in, guest panellists coming in this morning, and one of them is the show director, Trent Cornish. And I was listening to him talk the other day, and I think this is one of the first years in a little while that they've brought back the live floristry competitions where they've been building and creating. They did it on Wednesday morning.
On the spot.
On the spot. Yep. So cool. They had all of their materials and their setup, and they were in their little roped off corners.
Yeah.
And
in the left corner we have up against blah 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 blah.
Yeah, it was. And then they did the judging on that afterwards.
I mean, that is a part of the show, isn't it? It is a competition. It's a competitive process, and all of the show gardens and the exhibition gardens are sort of ranked up against some criteria.
Yeah.
We might explore that with a few of the people that we're chatting.
Yeah.
What are the criteria that things are being assessed against?
Yeah.
Mifkus.
Good old Mifkus. Listeners, if you've just tuned in, good morning. I hope you've got a cup of tea by your side or a coffee or something. It's Chloe Foster and John Arnott here. We have a rolling panel of guests who are going to be coming in very shortly and joining us this morning. We are live from the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show. It's our second year of doing this. We're smack bang in the middle of Carlton Gardens. Gardening Australia magazine have let us take over their marquee.
We're squatting.
Yes, and just thank you to AB Bishop and editor Liz Wilson for letting us come in here, because we were in a little shed last year.
We were in a portable next to the portable toilets, I think we were. It was.
I mean, that's an honour too,
And Chloe, we're right opposite where you spent a bit of the week.
Yeah.
In your stall, what have you been doing there?
Oh, trying to get new students.
Okay, so that's the TAFE hub.
Yeah, so it's the TAFE, it's called the Career Hub.
We're just
downhill from the Student Achievable Gardens, Avenue of Achievable Gardens. And it's a really good hub for Melbourne Poly. We've got floristry students that have been competing inside all week.
Cool.
Achievable Gardens, and students have got hanging baskets here too.
Nice.
And teachers are involved in various ways as well, and it's really big for Melbourne Poly Horticulture Department.
Yeah, good.
And our students have done really, really well this year, as they usually do. And I'm one-eyed to Melbourne Poly and our students, but other TAFEs.
Who else has been here? Chisholm
TAFE, Kangan, Bendigo Institute.
Great.
Are here as well, but also in the Achievable Gardens is Holmes Glen TAFE and London College of Garden Design. Okay. And there's some really beautiful stuff.
Has there been much competitive banter?
Oh, I would say it's pretty collegiate.
Yeah,
and
that's
I genuinely mean because we're all spread all over Melbourne.
Absolutely.
And sure, we get, and I would say all the TAFEs get students coming from all over, and we get that at Melbourne Poly, but we just want more people to get into horticulture and gardening.
It's the horticultural educational community.
Yeah,
it's like a hub for that.
Yeah.
I mean, MIFCUS is the place to come and get ideas, be inspired. It really is just a series of opportunities to learn, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lots of students coming through?
Yes, I've seen heaps of students, current and past.
Yep.
And hopefully future.
Yeah, good.
And I've had a number of students, current and past, say to me in the last week or so, oh, I saw you guys at the show and decided to sign up with you. And I'm sure the other TAFEs have had that as well. But I've had it's really, and I'll be taking that feedback back to management. That it's so important for us and the TAFEs to have a presence here, because it's that capture of new people,
The people's horticultural careers can be started from a conversation in that tent.
Yeah,
it's really pretty cool.
Yeah, really, truly.
Yeah,
and you know, we've had horticulture staff, teaching staff here, so you know, for people that want to know in more detail, more than maybe what's on the website, this is the time to come and chat to people about, like, you know, what units are you going to study, even costs of courses.
Yeah, sure.
And
are there still free courses?
The Cert 2 and 3 in horticulture is still on the free list.
Yeah.
The Cert 4 in horticulture is pretty heavily subsidised. Okay. I think it's about $4,000 the subsidised one, okay. And then concession is cheaper than that. And we also have the Diploma of Applied Horticulture Science, too.
And that ramps up in both content and cost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd be really keen for some other TAFEs to pick that up, because we're the only ones delivering it at the moment.
It is a bit of a hole in that market, that sort of post trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, it's been amazing having horticulture on the free list. But I think it means that you get more people doing the trade qualification and not necessarily picking up those management, planning.
Yeah.
You know, like, John, you have retired now.
I have retired now.
Yep. You're still working a lot.
Well, I've retired from full-time employment.
Yes.
I'm still reasonably busy
in
the horticultural world.
Yeah.
Which is lovely. I mean, that's, you know, I love it.
Yeah. But we need people with those managerial oversight planning, succession planning skills, and that's what you get from the higher courses, the Cert 4, but particularly from the diploma.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
it is a niche. It's a need.
We get people, smart people, who should be doing those higher level ones, just going smart enough to go, I'm just going to do the free course, bang, and I'll be qualified.
Yeah,
and they're getting really well educated.
Yeah,
but it's not.
It's the first stepping stone, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do the free one. You got it for free. Now, please come and study a little bit further.
And continue your horticultural learning journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is good. Yeah, and the achievable gardens, that's completely students.
All students. They have to have
current,
and
past.
No, currently studying.
Currently
or
studying.
Within, you know, finished within 6 months or something of the show.
What are the tiers? There's the achievable garden. You've got the show garden.
So let's start at the top. The show gardens are the big ones, starting at the top.
And there's 7, 8, 10 of those?
Not quite 10. I think it'd be, let's say 7, give or take.
Yep.
And then the boutique gardens. Which are a little bit smaller.
Yep.
But still, like, they really pack a punch.
Yeah.
And there's some really talented landscape designers doing the boutique gardens.
Sure.
And then we drop down to the balcony gardens, which are new in the last few years.
Okay. Connie's garden is a balcony garden?
Connie Cow has done a border garden.
So what's a balcony garden?
Balcony is as small as the border gardens.
Right.
But it is more focused on balcony inspo.
Gotcha.
Smaller gardens, people in apartments these days, like, how can you get as much greenery into your life as possible through an apartment?
Greening up gardening on that scale.
Yep.
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 Beautiful.
And I will, little plug for my baby, Dan Foreman, a very well-known landscaper around the traps, has done a balcony garden, beautiful native design too, by the way. And this is totally unplanned. Chloe Thompson sent me a photo. Rookie gardener just sitting front and center on his display. I was chuffed.
That's nice.
So shout out to Dan. So thank you.
Yeah, that's really nice.
And then
so he's a past student of yours?
No, just an industry person. Yeah, just a legend.
Yeah.
And the border gardens.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Then next level.
Well, I don't know whether you'd say the achievable gardens are down the bottom of that. They sort of sit aside from the show, the
they're
boutique.
At similar scale.
The achievable gardens are at a similar size, or maybe a little bit bigger to the boutique gardens.
Okay.
But the quality of them is absolutely massive, and it is phenomenal. Like, they used to be just little plot some plants in.
Yeah.
I've been coming to Mifkus pretty solidly for most of my life, but at least the last 20 years, and I do remember seeing this, the old school avenue of achievable gardens. They were probably maybe 3 by 3 meters then.
Okay, but not as curated or as... Yeah,
nah.
They're presenting... Yeah.
Yeah, not as curated.
They are high level now.
Yeah, yeah, they are.
Mm.
And we are on the topic of achievable gardens.
We are.
And let's welcome our first guest to the show this morning. Our 3CR's very own Pia Lefebvre, a contestant in the Achievable Gardens this year.
Silver medal award winning Pia.
Yep. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
Pia, did we get your surname right then?
Yes, you did. Oh. Holly was my teacher, so she nailed that every time.
Oh, I feel like I haven't. But anyway, we'll move on because we've got limited time.
Yeah, we do.
You've been very busy.
Yes.
Probably very stressed.
Not once this show started, but yeah, before.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us about your garden. It's called the Dopamine Garden.
Yes.
What is a dopamine garden?
So it stems from an interior design trend called dopamine decor. And
dopamine decor.
And yeah, dopamine decor. And it's all about using patterns and colors to really celebrate individuality and have fun. And I thought, this is great, let's do it in the garden world. And so I chose to just use a lot of colors and patterns in the garden, but also to translate that to the garden world, I also wanted to have sensory plants. So there's a lot of tactile plants like the Adenanthus and Stachys, and there's a lot of scented plants like the Pelargonium citronella and the verbena, and yeah, so it's just, and it's been really, really working because everyone's passing by is naturally touching and smelling.
Oh, great.
And you're encouraging that to happen. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm designing specifically so there will be some at a lower height for kids and people in wheelchairs, and some at higher, and it's really working. Everyone's naturally touching it.
It seems that nothing happens by chance at Mifkus. Like, that was strategic. You actually thought, I'm going to put foliage at this level and this level and this level to allow for that opportunity.
Yeah, turns out I'm ruining it for the other gardens because I'm encouraging all the kids to touch and all the other ones are like, no, don't do it.
Good.
Look, but don't touch.
Yeah. you've used a lot of colour in your garden too, so not just in the plants but in the hardscaping of it.
Yeah.
The colour selection is, it's not twee. It's they're beautiful colors. They're really clean colors.
Thank you. I spent so much time on that because colors are hard when there's that many, and you can easily turn into childish.
Yeah.
But I think it worked out, and I also purposely chose colors that complemented the flowers, like specifically the yellow pond, and everyone's admiring the yellow flowers. And I think it's nice that it can work together like that.
Yeah.
So dopamine decor, the dopamine garden. Is it an attempt to colour up our world in a beige
absolutely.
Existence? Is it that's the sort of the driver?
It's there's such a greyification of a world in terms of
greyification.
Yeah, absolutely. There's such a loss of colours. There's studies that analyses the numbers of coloured pixels from back in the days compared to now, and there's just an enormous reduction of colored pixels in pictures because we just don't use it all around us anymore. And I think it's just really sad because studies show that colours is good for people. It brings people joy. And everyone's been coming to my garden, like, one of the first words they're saying is, like, happy and joy and fun. And I think that's what the colours bring out in people.
But you were conscious not to make it gaudy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
A, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I was also expecting a lot of people to say it's feminine or girly, but it hasn't. I think I've been really happy that it attracts way more wider audience than I thought. There was this big group of blokey guys that came and they stood and looked at it for a while, and I was like, okay, what are they going to say? And they're like, oh, I love the colours. The colours are great. And I was like, oh, nice. Yeah.
I mean, if you think about paint colours and what people are putting on their houses these days, everything's just a different shade of beige and grey.
Yeah,
yeah, it's just
they're
neutrals.
Too scared to put colour in.
Yeah. And I think it's, on a political level, it's also just people think about resale and, like, the value of money.
Yes.
Which I get, we're in a cost of living crisis and everything, but I'd rather live in a house that makes me happy for 2 years and you repaint anyways. I don't understand.
Yes. Yeah, amen. Sure.
Yeah.
And you're one of the achievable gardens.
Yeah.
How many achievable gardens are there? Was it a dozen?
12.
12,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, correct.
And that's all about providing an opportunity for existing students. We were just chatting about this, to actually get some, you know, real live world experience.
Yeah.
How has the experience been? Have you learned a lot?
Oh, so much. I've learned so much. There's the design aspect, which is, I learned so much, but that's what I'm studying.
So what are you studying?
Oh, I'm studying Cert 4 in landscape design, and I finished my Cert 3 in horticulture.
Okay.
Chloe.
Okay. So got the horticulture. That's a really nice combination. Get the horticultural grounding and then expand into design.
Yeah.
Because, I'll get on my little soapbox here, lots of designers, plants are sort of the last thing they consider.
Yes.
Sometimes
they don't necessarily come to design world from a plant focus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I think it's been invaluable to have both those studies, to have them work together. And I'm really happy because the colours is what I get the first compliment on, but everyone's like the plant palette as well. And the intention was to have all the foliage at the back so you feel really safe and surrounded with the weeping plants, and they're low maintenance at the back. And then there's the flowers in front.
There goes a little forklift.
Yeah.
We are quite clearly live from the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show this morning.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Some of the challenges along the way?
Oh, well, it's the building.
The build.
We're all horticultural landscape design students that are building. And it's just an enormous amount of work. But I think it's going to really help me as a designer to work better with landscapers and really understand how things work from their perspective.
Yeah. Working to a pretty tight deadline.
Yes.
When did you came on site last week, I'm thinking. How long did the build take?
So the pre-build is about a month, and then there's 9 days bump in.
Okay.
And I used every minute of it.
She was still routing on Tuesday morning, I heard.
I finished which 10 is running before the deadline.
Very tight.
Yeah.
Pia, you've had some little business cards sitting at the front.
Mm-hmm.
What are you wanting to, like, work-wise?
Yeah.
What are you wanting to move forward from this?
Yeah. Well, I want to do landscape design, and I think this is such a great opportunity because it gives you an opportunity to showcase what style you want to do, because when you're new, you kind of take what you want.
Yep.
Or whatever you get, and now I can showcase, like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
Colourful designs and things that bring joy, basically, yeah.
And how can people find you?
Yes, they can find me at ps.joyscapes.
Joyscapes. Yes. It's good.
So Joyscapes, that's the brand.
Yeah, that's the new business name, yeah. But I know a lot of people know me from my old Instagram, Pia, and so I thought I'll keep a bit of it. Ps.joyscapes, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Pia.
Thanks, Tom.
I mean, is it a silver gilt or a silver medal?
Silver medal.
Silver medal.
Yeah.
I think the gilt is a British thing, isn't it?
There's still gilt. Gilt is like a B+.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in between gold and silver.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
But a silver medalist?
Yes.
Yep.
Very fun.
Were you absolutely thrilled when you walked around the corner and saw the disc?
Oh,
sitting
so
in
happy.
Your garden?
so happy. But I keep saying to everyone, the silver medal silver medal is amazing, but what's really the nicest part is getting all the feedback, the positive feedback, and medal just feels like not much compared to that.
Sure, it's a validation.
The external validation.
We were talking about that earlier.
There
must have been people that supported you with this.
Yes.
Did you want to shout out to a couple of your colleagues?
Well, everyone at school has been amazing. Alistair, my teacher, my sponsors, Warner's Nursery and Southern Plants, and Water Features Direct with the pond. Really happy with that.
That's beautiful.
And my friends and my partner who had to learn to use tools. But he's doing great now.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Lefebvre, thank you so much for joining us today.
You nailed
it. So did you.
Thank you.
Enjoy the last day of the show.
Yeah, enjoy the last day.
Enjoy the bumping. Bump out.
Good luck with bump out.
Yeah, we'll see.
Good on you. Well done, Pia.
Thank you so much.
See ya. Listeners, you are tuned into the 3CR Gardening Show. We are live from the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show at Carlton Gardens this morning. It's Chloe Foster and John Arnott here. We've had a few text messages come through. Some of you guys have our phone number saved in your phone, which is great. We got Pia's volume sorted, so thanks for the feedback there. Some more feedback from some listeners loving the design and joy and use of colour with Pia's garden. Another listener, Emma from the Fernie Creek Horticulture Society has messaged in. There are 3 double passes on offer for the Fernie Creek Hort Society combined Plant Collectors Expo and Autumn Show. Now, this show is being held on August 18 and 19 from 10 till 4 both days. The hall is going to be full of flowers and autumn foliage and autumn blooms. There's over 40 stalls. It's a really big one this year.
It is a big one. Yep. And it, in some respects, it's like a Mythicus, but just scaled back a little bit.
Scaled back. Yeah. And I would probably say more plant diversity.
More plant diversity.
Way more plant diversity.
Because more specialist growers.
Specialist growers.
Yeah.
So if you want to jump on those passes, our wonderful producer Doug is in the studio. You can give him a call. The number for that is 9419-0155. 9419-0155 to get those 3 double passes from Doug in the studio. The address for the show is 100 Hilton Road, Sassafras, up in the Dandenong Ranges, and it's at the Fernie Creek Hort Society Hall, 18th and 19th of April.
Beauty.
The text line, for those of you that are wondering, John and I can see the text live, so do, if you have any questions for our panellists while they're on, do text in. The number for that is 0488-809-855. We will put up some photos on our social channels on Facebook and Instagram where the 3CR Gardening Show handle. I think that's the term that the cool people use.
That's with the cool people.
We can't see text messages on air, and for our podcast listeners, email is the best way to contact us. It's 3cr.gardening@gmail.com.
Beauty.
And, I think I said August for the Fernie Creek Court Show.
No, it's April.
It's April.
Yeah, it's straight after Easter.
There's a lot going on in my head at the moment.
Yeah, I probably should have helped you with that one, Chloe.
Yeah, you are no help at all.
I'm no help.
Thank you.
No, sorry about that.
We must welcome our next panellist to the show, Susanna Kennett-Lister, garden designer. You were on a couple of years ago, and we brought you in again. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's nice to be back.
Good. Now, these microphones are really touchy.
Yes, I need to stay really close.
Really close.
You might just want to adjust the angle of it just to face.
There we go.
Yeah, I think Pia was a bit taller than me.
She's
for those at home, I'm not a tall person.
Susanna, again, you've been involved in Royal Botanic Gardens and Wurundjeri Council collaboration garden. This is the third year that it's been
this
happening?
This is our third year, yes.
Yeah.
Have you been involved in each year?
Since the beginning,
Since the beginning.
This is my fourth Mythicus and my third Indigenous garden. So I am deep in it.
You're a seasoned campaigner.
I am seasoned. Tell us about the garden this year.
Sure. So this year we have developed the idea around Bolan Billabong, which for those listening that may not know is a billabong in Baleen. It's actually the source of Boleyn's name, Bolin Bolin.
Really? Oh, it's a really lovely.
Yeah, it's a really significant place for Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people and many other clans of the Kulin Nation. It's been a gathering place for them for a very, very, very long time. It's an extremely resource-rich natural place. And when we were discussing what we might focus on this year, the idea of gathering places came up, and okay, it felt like a really nice confluence given that the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show brings more than 100,000 people, and that's a very big gathering.
The Fig in and of itself is a gathering.
Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, the site that we're at Mifkis in Carlton Gardens is a really significant place as well for the Aboriginal community.
Yeah.
It's been a place of gathering and protest for very, very, very long time.
Decades.
Well, especially from like the 1920s. But yeah, even when the exhibition building was being built, there was a gathering to protest the building of that, of the exhibition building on this site, because this has been a significant place for Aboriginal people too,
yeah,
for far longer than Europeans have been
so
here.
So there's a spirit of place.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. So it's a really, we thought that Bolin Bolin Billabong, which is an area that is kind of being quite heavily impacted by the construction of the North East Link, so it's a gathering okay place that's kind of worthy of our attention at this moment, and it's in a place of gathering for both the Aboriginal community in terms of its position near Gertrude Street and Mifkis, that she's bringing all these people together.
So lots yeah of layers of
many layers
of that placemaking.
Yeah, we're working hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you capture the essence of a Yarra Flats billabong on the scale of a show garden at Mifkis?
Yeah, look, it's a really interesting challenge. Designing this garden, we are always balancing the kind of need to create something that feels of country and gentle and
authentic,
and kind of drawing on all of the plants we use are indigenous plants to the area. This year, we've kind of got a slightly simpler plant palette. Last year, I think we had over 100 plant species in the garden, and this year we've kind of really pared it back. We've kind of gone for things that people will recognise,
okay,
plant species that people can get quite easily.
Okay.
And in terms of replicating and kind of evoking the billabong in this space, obviously the use of water is really important, and using it in a way that's at ground level,
yep,
something you can walk right up to. Which was a kind of technical challenge. The way that the garden is constructed is a little bit smoke and mirrors, but we've managed to kind of hide the way that we built that billabong so that ooh people and visitors can walk right up to the edge of it.
Can we go behind the smoke and mirrors?
Yes, if you'd like to know.
Yeah.
So the construction of our garden is actually extremely simple, and it's the same method that we've used the last 3 years.
Okay.
So we're very fortunate to have Shapescaper supporting us. So their steel edging acts as the kind of boundary for our garden.
Okay.
And when it comes to creating the billabong, we use a higher profile of their steel edging, and we've simply rolled a pond liner over the top of that edging, and it creates just a very gentle shallow pool. We've created a bit more depth in that pool by putting a whole lot of eucalyptus leaves and mulch in there to get the tannins in. Uh-huh. So we get that natural colour.
Very yeah clever.
It's worked really it's well. We weren't sure it was going to work.
Yeah.
Because of, I mean, this is World Heritage listed garden. You can't dig into the ground?
No, we cannot break ground at all.
No.
We are allowed to put a few stakes in the ground to make the edging sit up,
yep,
but that's very, very low impact. And we have to be really careful given where we are situated under that really significant fig tree. Mm. So we don't do any construction works underneath the tree protection zone
okay
of that tree.
Yep.
So the only interventions we make is just putting a few stakes in the ground for the edging.
Wow.
Am I right to say that prior to the collaboration that we're talking about here, that there was no small First Nations footprint at Mifkis?
Very, very small. I think maybe in Mifkis's past there had been a couple of stands and things that focused on Indigenous planting, but nothing that had the representation and input of First Nations and traditional owners.
The co-design.
The co-design element, yeah. So the Wurundjeri elders and representatives that we work with, nobody had ever been involved with the show in okay that way before, so this is a really big shift.
It's pretty special.
It's awesome.
Good on you.
Long overdue.
Yeah,
for sure. The welcome to country ceremonies that have occurred in that garden,
mm-hmm,
probably for the in the 3 years that
yes,
that
each year we've had one. Yeah.
They're really beautiful ceremonies.
Yeah, and we were super lucky. The last 2 years, we've been really lucky to have Uncle Bill Nicholson, who was also involved in the design of the garden this year.
Beautiful.
He's unfortunately wasn't able to be with us for the show, but he was really instrumental in sharing a bit of the knowledge around Bolan Bolan and Lyrebird, which also features in our garden.
Yeah.
And a lot of the other elders that have been part of the process have been through the garden in previous years, and this year coming through to see the way that it's been evolving. And this year we were all so thrilled to have Kathleen and Michaela and Charmaine from the Jiri Jiri Dancers come and open the show for us and welcome us to country, and it was sublime. It was really wonderful.
A little goosebumps just thinking about that's wonderful. So that co-design, what was the process what did that look like?
Yeah, okay. So it's been developing now over 3 years. So we're really fortunate to have that ongoing relationship and trust. And generally the way the process works is that the first year the elders put forward the idea of having a garden that introduced people to the idea of Wurundjeri country and the scope of it.
Yep.
So we represented three different plant communities from across the breadth of Wurundjeri country.
Yep.
And then one of the things that came up as we were kind of debriefing about the success of the first garden, we thought, what did we miss? What did we not kind of draw out? And that year, the next thing became water country, which is super significant to Wurundjeri people. And then this year, there was that conversation about, okay, so what can we build on now? So we've talked about water country, we've talked about the scope, and the elders were kind of talking, the representatives were talking about what it feels like to be on country and the sensory elements of it and significant places within that water country, and that's how Bolan Bolan came up. So it is really just a conversation, ultimately, the co-design process is that we get in the room, we start talking about the experiences that we've had, and then other things come up in conversation, stories, history, cultural, like plants that are significantly embedded in cultural practice.
Yeah.
And then we think, okay, how can we represent that? And then the kind of landscape design team, which is myself, Andrew Laidlaw, Jacoby, who's one of the Aboriginal learning guides at the Botanic Gardens, really is nice. A huge part of the project this year as well.
Wonderful.
And also Harrison and Maria from Petrichor Collaborative, who came on board this year. So we would kind of all go away and we synthesize that feedback and those ideas, and then we put something on paper and we come back to the group and we say, what do you think about this? And they say, okay, that's great. What about, can we have a seating area here? And we just start throwing things back and forth, and then it kind of evolves.
Co-design.
Yeah. Co-design. It's really open and really, it flows really quickly and freely, which is beautiful.
How does your, outside of doing the show gardens here, how does all this sort of feed into your design practice?
It's a great question, and I actually spoke in the garden about the way that my design practice has evolved over the last couple of years and the way that it's influenced my thinking. And I think a really big part of it is I have learnt to decenter myself in the design process.
Put the ego aside.
I like to think I was never too egotistical about it all. But I kind of prioritise everything else around me and where I sit within that. And I try and do that for my clients as well and learn how to balance the practical needs that you have in gardens and living within them, but do it in a way that lifts everything else up around you and kind of to your level. And I found that the thing that drives me is I look for gaps in my environment. Okay, I don't have enough small birds. I don't have, the invertebrate levels aren't where I want them to be. What do I do? And I don't come to garden design so much from a purely aesthetic place anymore, which I think maybe I did as a younger designer.
Yeah, okay.
I'm now thinking about the kind of holistic systems that I can create. And the aesthetic stuff comes with it. I'm still me. I still have my preferences. I still have my kind of design drive.
Style.
Yeah. I still have my style. But that is like the aesthetic expression is a product of my action in the garden.
Yeah.
Do you think Miscus get visitors becoming more open to displays having layers of ecology and layers of biodiversity and layers of culture?
I definitely think so.
Beyond straight ornamentation?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. I mean, it's certainly, maybe it's because I'm embedded in my garden and I hear what people say when they come through
it. And that's your jam.
And that's my jam. But I think absolutely people are really responding to that. And even if it's not kind of cerebral. You can see it when people walk into the garden and the way their bodies kind of relax and the fact that they sit down and they stay there. Like, I've kind of gone for walks and come back an hour later and the same people are still sitting in the garden.
Oh, that's nice.
And people through and say, oh, this is so energizing. And I think people, even if they don't think about it in, like, really literal terms, they're feeling it.
I mean, that's got to be the biggest endorsement that you could have. With all of this hubbub and stuff to look at, people are stopping and dwelling.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. I've kind of felt, even for the last 3 years, that our little pocket up there under the fig tree is a place of respite, and it's a place that people really want to sit and engage with what we've put before them, and it's a really beautiful thing to see.
I've really liked it. It is a bit of, it's sort of a place that you know that there's, that garden's going to be there now. Is there plans to continue this into the future?
There's certainly no plans to stop.
Good. That was such a diplomatic answer.
I think everybody, like the show, Wurundjeri, Woiwurrung Aboriginal Heritage Corporation, the Botanic Gardens, everybody loves what's happening here and the way that the garden is developing. We had the program this year, which is the really, really exciting element, which is the first time we've managed to kind of activate the space in this way. And we're really kind of feeding off the energy of that. I can't promise I'll be involved.
What was the program?
The program, yeah. So I should mention it because we've got another day of programming left to go.
Yeah.
So a huge part of this year's gathering kind of theme and idea is that we wanted to bring people in and offer a direct kind of exchange of ideas and culture. So from Wednesday to Friday, we had Tully, who's one of the educators with Wurundjeri Woiwurrung, in running sessions on culture and plants and ecology and history with people within the garden. There were early years sessions, and there were sessions open to everybody. And then we've also had chats about design of the garden and storytelling. And today, I think David Wong, who makes our beautiful bird sculptures, is going to be speaking.
I was going to ask about those.
Yeah.
That seems to be a little bit of a signature of the...
So
and
David...
the umbrellas?
Yes, they're recycled umbrellas. And also natural materials worked in. So David first designed the umbrella wa, which is the Wurundjeri word for crow, who are the protector of Wurundjeri country and people.
Yeah.
He first designed those in our first garden in 2024, and the elders just loved them.
How like, nice.
They have so much personality, and it was such a draw card for people coming through the show as well. So when we said, okay, we're going to do another garden, the elders were like, will the wa be there? And so David's also kind of been making a different bird. So last year we had white-faced herons, and this year we have bulun bulun, which is the lyre bird.
Mm. And eels.
And eels, of course. I shouldn't forget our short-finned eels, or eok is the Wurundjeri word for short-finned eel. Those guys are made of pool noodles. And they've got a special sleeve to get them the right colour. And little flywire fins.
Beyond the smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, absolutely. You've heard it all here.
Yeah. It's about Indigenous culture, it's about people, but it's, you know, about Indigenous plants. Sourcing that material, was that a challenge?
Yeah, so we're very lucky to have Jack Dewhurst, who's a horticulturalist with the Royal Botanic Gardens. He's been involved in the garden all 3 years.
Okay.
He looks after their Long Island collection. He has done the bulk of the plant sourcing for the past few years. This year, I think a huge relief for him was that we managed to get most of our plant material from just two or three nurseries. I think last year we pulled from about 10.
Yeah.
It's a huge job. And we're really lucky to have nurseries come on board. Regen nurseries have been huge, Australian ecosystems. And
for a lot of the grasses and the tufts.
For the grasses, stuff, some of the smaller and the tube stock, but also some gardenia, lamandras. What else have we got in there? The trees come from tall trees this year. We've had different tree suppliers in the past. These ones are a really good size. They're easy to kind of take the labour out of it a little bit. We can move them around. What else have we got? Regen, yeah, I mentioned Knoxbrook Nursery, and the Narrup Rangers have supplied some of the special stuff like the chocolate lilies.
And you mentioned petrichor.
Yes.
Which is the smell of rain.
It is. So petrichor collaborative are a group of architects, landscape architects and researchers. So Harris and Maria and Jacoby have been the members most involved with the garden this year, and they've brought a really wonderful element of just, that really kind of grounded research and kind of blending that in with the design of the garden. And they ran a really beautiful workshop yesterday, which was about kind of envisaging the space as it was and potentially as it will be.
How lovely. Yeah. For Radiothon, Chloe found a button that was applause.
Yeah.
we actually needed to just
press the buttons today.
Press the applause button. Because hats off.
Thank you so much.
To the collaboration.
Thank you.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thanks for coming in this morning to have it.
We hope it continues, and we hope that that culture and country and Indigenous flora is spread a little bit further.
Me too.
Throughout the show in the coming years.
It feels like it's embedding.
Absolutely.
Let's make it embedded.
Yeah.
We'll do our very best. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on to Bright and Early.
Pleasure.
That was Susanna Kennett-Lister, everyone involved in the Wurundjeri Council and Royal Botanic Gardens Victoria garden show garden collaboration. This is the 3CR Gardening Show. We are live from the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show at Carlton Gardens this morning. It's Chloe Foster, did I say my name? With John Arnott.
With John Arnott, yeah. And it's a bit of a revolving door this morning of talented and wonderful people.
Introducing drum roll, Jane Tonkin. To the microphone.
For the 21st time. Yeah. Jeez.
I know, I feel a little bit old, actually. So the reference to the 21st is that it's our 21st year here, so it's kind of exciting, draining and exciting at the same time. I did have a pink sash on the first day that said 21 today, but there was too many people that looked at the sash, looked at me and laughed. So I took it off.
Did you take offence at that?
Well, I mean, I can't really pull off 21 anymore, John, let's be honest. But anyway, that's sort of weird.
Just thinking about a five-day 21st celebration.
Yeah.
That's like a horticultural bender.
Well, this show is like a horticultural bender, yeah. I think. And I think it's like a two-month bender, really, for us. It all starts sort of 2 months ago on prepping everything, sort of 8,000 packets of bulbs and things. And
it's a lot of work.
Do you grow things specifically for Mifkus?
No, we grow things specifically for us, really. We're kind of selfish in the fact that we grow things we love.
But there's a lot of things that you love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't ever ask me what my favourite plant is, because that's mean.
Bulbs, perennials.
And seeds. Now, yes.
So seeds is new?
Yeah. So the seeds is a new thing in the last 2.5 years or so. And it all came about of... The trying to get seed in from overseas these days is very difficult. You have to buy from a registered seed company, and they have to provide a phyto certificate to get into the country
because of quarantine.
Yeah, which is all fair, because we want to protect Australia.
Yep.
But we.
It's challenging though. Yes?
Yeah, we feel, Kirill and I feel, a responsibility to Australian gardens and to what we've got here, that we need to preserve what is here. Mm. So. Our seed is all collected from Australian gardens for Australian gardeners.
Yeah, good.
I think that's going to be our new slogan. Hey, but
it's
anyway.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
You heard it first here.
Yeah,
on
the
3CR.
Yeah. So we added seeds to the line, and there's over 380 different varieties of seeds. So thanks to my mum and her best mate for sitting there day in, day out, packing packs of seeds over the last 3 weeks.
Amazing.
So, and thank you to all my friends around the country. Like, we've got people in Tasmania and New South Wales and South Australia that send us stuff from their gardens and things. And
come up and man the store with you as well.
Shout out to Kay Hagen, who is the best Varroa grower in Australia, I think, all the way from Hobart. And she's here standing on her feet for 5 days because apparently she loves me, which is great.
Wonderful. It takes a village.
It absolutely takes a village, because we're only little. I've got friends that give up their normal jobs and, you know, take a week of their holidays to come and help out here. And so it's very humbling. Mm. But we're the little business that could at times, I think.
Yeah, how wonderful.
But we've had a really fun time, because you get to meet a lot of different people and watch what people buy and the eclectic tastes of things. And, you know, people say, I can ask a stupid question. There is no stupid question.
Oh, I bet there has been, though.
No, actually, this, it's Sunday. We've still got a day to go, right, John. Okay. Yeah. Oh, look, sometimes you might get someone come up with a packet and say, how much are these? And it's kind of written on the packet. And then they say, oh, I'm silly, aren't I? And Kirill sort of has to not say anything because he's
smile and
to
nod.
Sort of go, well, do you really want me to answer? But no, that's understandable, but... there's been a few Kiwis, there's been lots of people from Brisbane.
Really?
Yeah, and so a lot of people saying to me, what can I grow in Cairns? And I sort of go, but there's a few things we can actually do for Brisbane as well, which is great. Heaps of people from New South. Blue Mountains is always a great spot to grow.
It's an analogue sort of climate, stuff. Yeah. You're kind of the opposite to the wholesale nursery that has 15 lines and they do those, you know, in the twos, tens of thousands.
Yeah. Mm.
You have many, many thousands of lines, but in smaller numbers.
So some of the things we've only bought six in, because you know from 21 years of experience that you're only going to have six people out of 110,000 that are going to want that.
Mm.
So,
it's so good that you still do that. There's a lot of local growers that don't come these days, and that is one of the downsides to the show is that we don't see the smaller growers here.
Yeah.
But you guys are persistently showing up, so that visitors do get that diversity in the plants on offer.
Dore, we hock ourselves to the eyeballs to get it.
I know you do.
I'm sure you do.
I know you do.
And,
I'm
sure you know, do. Economic climate and all the tragedy that's going on in the world.
Sure.
Kirill and I sort of went, oh, and if this doesn't work, we're going to have to get real jobs. And there goes the little business that could. But
that's no
we're
fun.
Still standing.
Yeah, good.
So, we've had a great time. I don't know my voice sounds like I should be in a different profession today, but anyway.
Janie, we've had a text message come in for you.
Uh-oh.
Rosie from Mount Eliza. Last year, she bought a podophyllum from you at the show. It looked magnificent for many months. It has died down, and she's wondering if she can expect it to come back, or has she killed it?
No, she hasn't killed it. They naturally die down over the winter.
Beautiful.
And then it'll start doing its little emerging umbrella about the middle of spring onwards and be up all through the summer and do the same again. I would just advise that she gives it a good feed. Any of the smelly ones that Jane loves, bit of blood and bone or one of the pelletized organics would be great, because they are heavy feeders as well.
And everyone knows that you're a feeder.
I am a feeder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A gross feeder?
Gross feeder.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. You know, if the nursery gig doesn't work out, I think you'd be really great at a fertilizer company.
Yeah, probably.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I also used to chef at a restaurant before I went back home when Dad passed away.
Oh, there is a strong feeding theme in your life, girl.
Yes.
Yeah, sure is.
So, I blame my upbringing, no.
What are the lines that have moved?
Oh.
Have you sold out of anything?
Yes.
Yeah.
So...
what moved first?
A lot of the rarer amaryllidaceae things, so things that are related to nereens and stuff.
It's nereen season at the moment,
isn't it?
It
is nereen season, and that's what... the time of this show is perfect for us, because those sort of South African things that are flowering in the autumn
really doing
are
thing
easy
now.
To move when you can see it in flower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that sort of stuff, you know, things we sold out of in the first 2 days, because that's when the people come for the rare stuff. And we've got the little yellow Sternbergia in a pot. Looks like a yellow crocus, everybody, and you can say, where is the yellow crocus? but it comes from sort of the Mediterranean, and it's this glowing little yellow crocus, but it's actually called a Sternbergia, and we've sold out of him, of course, because everyone just looks at the pot and goes, where's that?
Wow, I want that.
So it is kind of that impulse buy that you can see something in flower, but there's not everything in flower, so people have got to read some packets, ask questions.
And use their imagination.
Yes.
What a wild concept.
Yeah. But it's nice when someone comes in and says, right, I've got afternoon shade, morning sun, what have you got for me?
Yeah, I love that.
And then, you know, I steer people to blue things because it's my favourite colour. but you sort of give people options and then watch them sort of choose which out of those that they want. That's kind of nice to know that you're helping build a garden.
Is that'd be a really nice place, a really nice part of being at MIFCUS, is that sort of face-to-face interaction? Because you're a mail order.
Yeah, we're mail order.
Online business.
Thanks, John. We do 2 catalogues a year. Next one will be out in June.
Good.
But that one to one interaction, that's pretty special.
And I thrive on that personally. Like I think there's so much depth to people that you never find out until you actually sort of dive in and have that one-on-one conversation, and that's what makes me tick, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, cool.
You know, I am the loud person in the tent, but one of our 3CR listeners the other day said to me, "You must be Jane, I'll recognise that laugh anywhere."
Oh, that's uh-oh. Nice. That's nice.
So I was expecting a 21-year-old.
Yeah.
Did I follow that up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Jane. Yeah. Do you still get people rushing in at 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning going, I need this?
Elbows? Yes. And what's new? Yeah, sometimes. And you can see because they line everybody up at the gate and you can't get into the show until that 9 a.m., and you see people sort of craning their necks around to see whether, because we're right next to the Victoria Street gate.
Your position,
aren't you? We were very lucky that our first year, that was the spot we got.
Okay.
And thank you to Trent and all the team here. We sort of get that option of having that each year. The only problem I have is that if we get bigger, they have to move us. So, and I don't want to do that because everybody knows where you are already.
Yeah.
But
you do some of the smaller garden fairs and expos as well.
Yeah, so there's a great one coming up at the Ferny Creek Horticultural Society up in Sassafras, of all things, but anyway.
18th and 19th April.
Yes.
I said August before.
April. You
it's
said August.
April.
It's not August.
It is in April. So it's only a few weeks away. And that's combining with their autumn flower festival as well. So the horticultural hall up there will be full of all the floral and autumnal foliage exhibits, and the gardens will be full of people selling plants. Sausage chisel for the CFA, which is always good too.
Wonderful.
It's only a $9 entry.
Wow.
Fabulous little show. So they've combined the two. So it's almost going to be sort of bigger than Ben-Hur.
Great.
Yeah.
And one of the great plant fairs that you can find something different. So if anyone wants to put that in their diary, it is well worth coming to.
Yeah, because I think you mentioned that earlier, Chloe. It's where the specialist growers that might not have the capacity to come to MIFCUS
definitely
exhibiting and displaying their wares.
And quite a few of our 3CR people there. Like Ben will be there with Kerry, Treasured Perennials.
Meryl Johnson
with
Seedscape.
But there's also the little backyarders that have a passion for maybe one genus, but they're doing that really, really well. Mm. And you find that they're probably the only people in Australia that you might be able to get that from.
Yep.
So I think that opportunity is fabulous too. So 18th and 19th of April.
Yes.
110 Hilton Road, Sassafras.
Oh, mate, you're onto it.
You're onto it, yeah.
Doug, our producer.
I don't even have a piece of paper in front of me today. So sorry, Emma will message in if we've got that
Snapping Jane. Emma messaged before. She offered up 3 double passes to our listeners again. And they have all gone this morning.
Great.
So congratulations and thanks to those listeners.
Yep.
Jane, before we let you go, Peter and Vicky from Notting Hill have messaged in. Their first major purchase from you was a Cressoin Flava.
Yep.
I think they said they were pretty sure you only had 3 on your stand and they were there within the first 20 minutes of day one to get one of those.
Yep.
Elbows out.
Elbows
out.
Yeah.
And shout out to those two.
Yeah.
We love you. You're at every plant fair, orchid show.
They
everything.
Pop up.
They are.
They're the always out and
dedicated.
About.
And wonderful 3CR supporters.
And regular 3CR. Yeah.
They're great people.
Yeah.
So are all our listeners out there. It's nice when people come up and say, I listen to you on the radio. Because it's nice that we know that someone is listening
I
to
know.
What we're saying.
Yeah, it's not just my mum, and she's not even tuning in this morning.
Oh, Deb.
Rude.
Yeah, very rude.
Yeah, it's rude.
She'll have to podcast.
There'll be words later. Yeah, she will.
Well, that's the nice thing. It is a tricky slot, 7:30 on a Sunday morning. But, you can download or stream the podcast at any time.
Yeah, and there's been a few people that have said that to me. When I'm out in the garden, I'm listening to 3CR.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, that's the way we want it, isn't it? Like, for us, that we want to be sort of inspiring them while they're playing in their garden. I think that's great.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Helping out. Yeah, for sure. Jane Tongan. Thanks
for having me.
That applause button.
Yeah, applause button.
Go legends. Yep.
Thank you for coming in this morning. We're very grateful. And I hope you have a busy day and get rid of all your stock so you don't have to pack up too much.
It never happens, but that would be amazing. Yeah. I can tell you now, I will be stopping for a bottle of champagne on the way home.
Yeah, beauty.
Well deserved.
And for those that can't get to Mifkus, it's the Fernie Creek Show.
Collectors Expo.
On the 18th and 19th of April. Come and say hello.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Janie.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your day. This is a 3CR Gardening Show. It's John Arnott and Chloe Foster and a rolling panel of guests with you guys this morning. We are live from the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show at Carlton Gardens. Our text line is up and open for listeners that want to join in the chat or tell us if our volumes are too low. The number is 0488 809 855. The Fernie Creek double passes have gone, so it's just us now for you guys to tune into. And the rolling panel has rolled on to the next guest. They've taken their seat. Little bit of a pivot in guests for this next one. We'd like to welcome Trent Cornish, the show director, who is very, very busy at the moment. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure. You won't get quite the horticultural insight from me.
No.
As you would have from Jane.
That's why we've brought you on. Look, the show is an absolute whopper.
It's a behemoth.
How many people are involved in putting it all together? Exhibit. We're talking like 1,000 people?
Yeah, I mean, let's call it 350 individual sites across all the displays. Some of them have 20 people working on them. Some of them are just one person just getting the whole thing done themselves. So it's a big mix.
Yeah. And Trent just unassumingly wanders around and, like, keeps everything in shape. It's quite phenomenal.
Hat on, sunglasses on.
Yeah.
Incognito.
Incognito.
Yeah, you are incognito.
What does the director of Mifkus do? What are your key performance indicators in your PD?
Great question. I probably would like to have these in my PD. I would say there's two layers. The first bit is what the industry thinks of the show.
Yep.
So when we come here and people tell me, one of my favourite things I've been told this week would be from Marty Sempkin, and he said, from the strength of the horticultural content and the depth of it, this is one of the best shows ever. That says a bit when someone from the industry is sort of saying that the depth and variety.
With maybe 20 years of experience.
Yeah, he's
on
seen
top
a few shows. Yeah. So that's one side. And then the second is the consumer. So entirely different. Most of the people there are a lot of people very garden proud that come as well. But why are they coming to this show versus the comedy festival or things like that? So what are we doing differently to engage people? And how you measure that is, I mean, the weather hasn't been a great marker for it, but we need to be something for everyone. So that's a hard thing to measure, but I feel like we're trying new things every year, and even if it's a slight change, we want people to come back every year.
Yeah.
People see 5 days of beauty. The reality is completely the endeavour that sits behind that.
Yeah.
It's remarkable.
I think you strip back, the first thing that people are surprised by is that the big gardens, they get 8.5 days. So people that are competing in the show garden competition, 8.5 days to create a display that looks permanent is madness, really.
Yeah.
But there's people here who, I remember having a meeting with Andrew Stark, who created a phenomenal garden at the top of the boulevard this year. We met on site at this time last year. Here's your plans. This is what we're doing. I've got all my plans lined up from Warners. And they'd been growing for multiple years before that. So that's a minimum 14 months. And the idea had been in his head for 15 years, he reckons. So people are thinking about this for a long, long time, and next year's our 30th show, so I'm expecting 30th. People have probably put their flag in the ground for that as well, and they've been planning for a long time to be here.
Yeah.
So it never stops. The 5 days is the event, but there could be 2 years of consideration prior to rolling in and installing your landscape.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as an event, we're planning multiple years in advance. That's aligned with...
Multiple? Two? Three?
I mean, it depends. Yeah, at least two.
Yeah.
I think from actual having this venue, it's more than that. I mean, we're out to 2029, I think, that we've sort of got all the permitting stuff in line for the building and for outside, which is a huge part of the show. I mean, hard to replace the Royal Exhibition Building in particular, but the Carlton Gardens, we're the only one that gets to use it. So we're pretty proud of that. But the actual ability to showcase yourself under a high pressure environment. People are very proud and they put a lot of stock in being at this show. They don't want to rush that. And so the conversation often I'll have, it could be 3 or 4 years until a show garden person says they're ready. They're like, now we're ready. We've been talking about it, but now I'm ready for next year. So it does take time. Things don't move that quickly in this industry sometimes.
We were talking earlier about the spirit of place, and the Carlton Gardens is one of the handful of heritage listed botanic gardens in the globe. That must come with some challenges and some constraints.
Yeah, it does. I mean, there's a reason why they're in place, though, I guess. So for us, it's important for, as part of the broader Carlton Gardens master plan, we respect that a lot. We respect the opportunity we've got to have it. I think about the Indigenous garden that's now 3 years old and how significant the fig tree is up there to the Indigenous people.
Yeah.
And our ability to be able to put the platform together on this event. It's heritage listed. That comes with a whole number of rules and regulations that do make things sometimes more challenging, but there's a reason why, and we couldn't replicate this anywhere else. So we'll put up those rules if it keeps meaning we get to use the building and the gardens.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Is Mifkus your main take up most of your time day to day throughout the year?
Yep, definitely. I'm a 12-month on Mifkus operation. And then our team will also, the months leading into it are very much focused on that as well. But we are an event management company. We run a number of other events. I certainly play a lot different role in those, and sometimes that's more relaxing because I just get to fly in and fly out. But
that'd be nice.
Yeah, I mean, for example, we run the Melbourne Marathon, which is just an enormous event now. Running's gone out of control. So, the team, we're not a huge team. We're probably 10 or 11 full-timers that work on, 3-4 different events all the time. And, the first quarter of the year is certainly all eyes on the garden show.
Yeah.
But it's a big collaboration. There's you as the event deliverer, there's the nursery and garden industry. And
that's probably the good point, and that's why I love this event, is that for me, we get to put the structure around it and maybe some bones, but no one actually comes to see the structure or the bones. Unlike, I'll use the example of the running event again, we close the roads, people run, we sort of do what needs to happen and that facilitates it. No one cares about what we do. They come and to see these amazing gardens and the hard work that, if we weren't dealing with a passionate industry here, it just wouldn't work, because these guys do go so far above and beyond every year and they come back. That's what makes it a bit special, and I think people get to come and get their glimpse into what's happening, whether it's in design or just horticulture in general. Yeah, it makes our job easier when we've got some of the amazing people we do here.
Mm. Have you seen shifts in, I don't know, themes or, the kind of some of the purpose that sits behind some of the exhibitions?
Definitely. I think there's probably, we try to help push certain themes as well and elevate or champion them. So clearly, I mean, it's a very broad topic, but sustainability has become so much more. I sort of hark back to maybe 10 years ago. This is more of an anecdotal thing, but we used to have, when the show gardens were ripping everything out, there would be about 40 different individual skips around the gardens, just people throwing all their general waste out. Last year, I think we had 2. So wow. Everyone else is really championing the message that we've got. We put a fair bit of investment into getting the material that we can, so non-treated timber and organics, out repurpose. It's our new partner this year, and they do an amazing job of getting all that green waste out, and all the mulch that you see in the gardens basically comes from the waste that was there the year before. So there's a huge effort in, whether it be something like that or where it's going to be the home for it later, is this going to go into a different part of the community, and some of the structures might go somewhere else. So you'll see Matt York, Best in Show, those structures will go back down to go down to, I think, his general area in Janjuk, and I'm sure they'll have a new home down there.
Yeah, yeah. On the show gardens, actually, one thing I've noticed, and I don't know how long you've been doing this for, but the show gardens just used to be sort of more so about the designer. But on the panelling, there's the designer, the construction, the landscape constructor they've collaborated with, and nurseries, one or two nurseries, major nurseries you see now. Is that, that's new in the last couple of years, isn't it?
That was my little thing this year. I'm glad you brought that up, Chloe.
Nice.
I mean, I think we take for granted the support that, clearly we need someone to design the garden, and that's great. We need, the construction team basically takes, for the most part, take their time off, stop getting paid by all their other jobs, which is an industry when often they're booked out for months in advance.
Yeah.
We need to champion them as well. And the nurseries, with all due respect to the two people before that, if we don't have plants in there, my goodness, it's going to be a bit of a dull garden. So the amount of time, effort, the trucks, the thought and care that goes into producing those plants, it's the least that we can do to try and get them on the sign and start spreading that message around. I want more nurseries to seek out that opportunity to be on that sign. So be in the top, we sort of have a max of two nurseries on there, to be one of the two lead nurseries and find that as a, you know, a feather in their cap to sort of say, yeah, we were part of that garden. So, yeah, and we're going to only continue to see that evolve.
Yeah. How much did you know about gardening before you started running the show? It's been question. About 4 years.
Next question.
What have you learned since?
Yeah. The thing about this now, I've learned just a spattering of random things. But clearly, I've learned a bit. I'm still by no means an expert. But what I can appreciate in it is the probably more than anything the benefit that people get out of it and the passion they've got in it. Because I'm never going to be the person that understands the plants as amazingly as some of the other people here. That's okay. This is that's not my job.
No.
My job is to understand why they care about it, how we can help facilitate that. But there's incredible depths to this industry that I'll never really sink my teeth into it. I have thought about, I must admit, I've been encouraged to and thought about coming up to Melbourne Polytechnic and doing a little cert of my own. But that would be pretty cool.
We can make that happen.
Yeah. look, it's so worthwhile, everything I learn. My plants at home are doing quite well.
I was going to say, do you garden at home?
Yeah, a little bit. I've got a this is a little townhouse, and it's a share house as well that I'm renting, so it's definitely not permanent. But it has been transformed since I went there. I think the landlords were relatively pleased with how we've done that. So, yeah, it's great. It's hard not to enjoy and sink your teeth into this
osmosis.
Industry. Osmosis
working its way in.
Yeah, slowly but surely. Yeah.
the Challenger Gardens. That's all about students. I mean, how important is that element to the program?
Yeah, I think important in two parts. First is the first platform for these guys to showcase what they can do, being able to provide something tangible for them to be inspired by and aspire to is so cool. So these guys that are pretty early in their career, it's quite hard to fathom how good some of those gardens are given their experience. The second bit is from a show, we need to continue to provide a pathway for people to want to become a show garden designer and a boutique before that, and an achievable or a balcony garden. So these pathways underneath are in some ways more important. Now, we have huge names in the industry doing show gardens, which is amazing. But I often, he's going to love this if he hears it, but Riley Cooper is my favourite little case study, because he did an achievable garden, then he did an emergent garden, which was like a one-year-only thing, and then he did a boutique, and then he did a show garden. And that is important for us to have people that keep doing, make that climb. And it's not for everyone. Some people will come and go, and that's okay. They might find their way into a different part of the industry. But
for Riley, he's tracked his career.
Yeah, it's fundamental. It's something that you can... You know, you don't have to wait 2-3 years in the industry to take the mature photos of your garden. You can come here and have a great opportunity for your marketing to sort of say, hey, this is what I do. This is what I want to be. And it's ready to go.
Yeah.
Climate, biodiversity, you know, some of those, you know, there are some real, we have a climate crisis and a biodiversity crisis. Are you seeing that being represented in some of the display gardens and... You know, that level of, environmental stewardship?
Definitely. People care. I think that's another thing. The designers care. Like your Matt York's story about Melbourne at $8 million. That's the idea behind his garden, right? Like, and how we're gonna prepare the planting for that. I mean, Jack Semler and the project she's done and what she's doing up on the corner there. It's all, there's no one's coming and building a garden saying, oh, this would be a nice backyard. I'm pioneering a message. Even Jamie Jury, In how he's doing it, he's trying to represent something around a functional and sustainable garden that people can just live in. So it's not, I think what, you know, one thing you mentioned before, we've moved away from, you know, look at some of the pictures from years gone by, there's less of the outdoor kitchen style backyard show garden, and it's more of a hidden message, broader, what are we trying to display, whether it's in nature or landscape.
It's a curated narrative.
Yeah, it's a huge conversation as well. So it's not as though one person can knock everything on the head. This is about focusing on one thing and delivering that story.
Yeah. Day 5 is just the last day of the show and the first day of the bump-in.
Bump out,
sorry.
Yeah. Got that wrong. How are you feeling?
Yeah, how you holding up?
I mean, bump out's the worst part of the whole thing. Look, we're hoping for some good weather today. I think it will be. Sunday used to be the biggest day of the show. So,
really, did it?
Yeah, so it's. I get a feeling that people might have back-ended their week and they may just be turning out in droves today. So with the sun out in the afternoon, I'm optimistic.
Beautiful day for it.
But yeah, look, I'm choosing not to think too much about the bump out, even though we have to, because I think we get 9 days for the big guys to build their garden, a couple extra weeks to put up the marquees. We've got to have it all out here in 3 days. So, yeah, wish us luck on that front.
It's just and chaos.
Yeah, chaos. And back to, I mean, is there a sort of a renovation, like for the turf and stuff like that,
yep,
project
yep,
as well?
There is.
Is that a part of your remit?
Yeah, it is. So, well, we don't deliver it, but we work with City of Melbourne on doing it. And yep. I think, look, we respect how important this garden is to, or this park is to so many people. And the residents of Carlton Gardens have a high value on this, and it's our responsibility to make sure that what we do, we rectify, which we do. That's all part of our plan. We put a lot of things in place to do everything as per what we have on our license. And people should be proud to know that although the garden clearly does impact, is impacted by the show, there's no lack of governance or stewardship from our end around doing what we need to do to recover it.
But remarkable, a show of this scale, which is bookmarked by 15 days.
Mm.
That's crazy. Well, 15 or 20 days, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's hard to... And the amount of time that people put in to make that work, and it's a even just... Not just the fact, the scale of it, the challenge of getting into the middle of the city, it's pretty hard for the nurseries, which are all based regionally, to come in and do all that.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on a wonderful show. Future shows?
Yeah. We'll be here for the foreseeable future. So, yeah, I mean, this is our home, and... we continue to have long-term contracts, which is great with City of Melbourne. We're the only event that gets to use the gardens. This is the purpose of the Carlton Gardens and Royal Exhibition Building from way back when, the World Expo. That's what this was built for. So we continue to use it that way. And
yeah. That's a statement of fact, isn't it? The exhibition is about display and exhibition, and you know, it's right on message.
Yep. Yeah, and I think we do Australia proud. When people come and have seen other shows, this MIFCA stands up. So Chelsea's got its prestige for sure, but we are right up the pointy end with the other ones. So
do you go to some of those other shows and like as a learning experience?
Yeah,
like,
do you
get to Chelsea and Hampton Court? And
I went to Hampton Court, which was, I mean, that's an incredible venue. That was really cool to see. Having said that, our show gardens kick it out of the park, really, to be honest. So and look, they have an incredible horticultural community. So the education pieces, I was sitting at the panel discussions and I was thinking, I am so far out of my depth as a punter here. But that's just, it's just so indoctrinated into their I guess being, as they love their little allotments, all that stuff.
Yep.
Then I went to Singapore Garden Festival, which was a completely different experience because it's actually in like an exhibition building, so attached to a department store or whatever, like a shopping centre, and then on the side is an exhibition centre. Like level 4 and level 6 was this,
and the
gardens were almost like movie sets. And so I went there and I thought, there were certainly some elements that were cool. We had a competitor actually from Australia compete in the floral demonstration competition, and it was all live. So the punters were in there watching it, and this year, I'm not sure if people know, but inside we had it live, and that was me just going, we need to do that. We need to have it live.
That was really great. Now, they used to do something similar, the live demonstrations here, but not for a while?
No, it's been, well and truly before my time. So last year we brought back the advanced students, so the ones who have been there more than a year, they did that, which was super successful. And I thought, that's great, but let's see the best of the best do it. So the idea was to add a bit more interactivity. My goal, and this is, maybe it's a pipe dream, but my goal is to have someone over the 5 days building a garden and teaching people about the various elements of, here's all the different things, and there might be some construction and some planting.
You've started off doing that because the Valley Care are doing the People's Garden this year, which they are creating these little gardens every day, and then they deconstruct them after hours at night.
I mean,
that's a starting point.
Huge shout out to Brad on that one.
Yeah.
Who runs the...
We'll get him on next year.
He's what he's just done is... And I mean, Valley Care more broadly and what they do for people and employment opportunities is worth it. And that was part of the reason why is, hey, let's find an appropriate platform to do this. But people love getting their hands dirty. They like feeling like they're involved in something. So whether that's watching it, preferably it's actually doing it. And what's happening over there is... I mean, we've never had something like that before. And I think it's hopefully something like that's here to stay. People want to just be involved. It's like when you see if someone walked past now and they see people doing a radio thing, they're interested. They see cameras, they're interested. Equally, if you just someone's doing a talk on a garden, they're interested. People want to feel like they're involved in something a bit bigger than just looking at something that's static.
Yeah. You ever thought about a fly on the wall documentary?
It's been
Netflix.
Talked about. There's been some characters at MIFCUS that are probably worthy of that. I'm not sure if people are aware of. I always thought it would be based around Langer, who used to run the site here.
Langer,
he's a good man, Langer. But yeah, look, there'd definitely be some. You'd have some people that would really. I think they'd probably go viral with some of the eccentric behaviour.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, there are so many different characters that go into this. Some of them you're thinking, how on earth have we stumbled across you and other people? They're just, I mean, it's just a genius at work. So you getting more insight from them, people would be fascinated.
We're so lucky we've got your event running and management expertise, just, you know, bringing these new ideas and keeping the show fresh in so many different ways, year in, year out.
Yeah, it's not static.
And it is really great working with you. I send you an email saying, can we run 3CR here from Gardening Australia Marquee or whatever? And you're just like, yep, sure. And you just make it happen. It's awesome.
Well, I mean, as I said, this is about us having an industry that people are so passionate in. So if that's how we need to help, it's pretty easy at our end. So it's a pleasure to have you guys and everyone here. Yeah, I think people love this event. So our job is to prop it up and give it the best opportunity to shine.
Yeah. Well, it's been a treat for us and the listeners to be able to, you know, have some insights into the behind the scenes of the MIFCUS behemoth of a show. Yeah. It is a remarkable.
Yep.
A remarkable event, a remarkable series of exhibitions and displays, and congratulations.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's, hopefully a big day to finish.
Yes, yep. Fingers crossed.
Lovely day. It's going to be perfect conditions for a day at MIFCUS.
I think that they're usually a slow start on Sunday, so don't judge me at 10:30, judge me about midday.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Good-o.
Thanks for joining us, Trent. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Good-o.
Good on you.
That was Trent Cornish, show director of the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show, where John and I are sitting in the Gardening Australia marquee. Thank you to AB Bishop and Liz Wilson of Gardening Australia magazine. AB is... wandering around, flicking us horrible hand gestures. I tried.
We might get
you on the mic if you're not careful.
Yeah, come
lady.
On, AB. Come
Run
on
away.
In.
We're live at Carlton Gardens. We're here for another 15 minutes, and we have our next guest on. 3CR stalwart regular these days. It's great to have a part of the team. Someone who's been absolutely busting her gut working so hard. Connie Cow, welcome to the show again.
Welcome. Oh, not welcome. I'm so tired. I totally forgot what I was saying. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Connie,
it's been a long week.
I bet it has. A couple of weeks ago, we had you were on the 3CR show, and we were talking about the show garden in prospect.
Yeah.
How did it all go?
Oh, I actually had a lot of like listeners come and tell me that they heard me talking about it and being stressed about it, and they came to look at it.
How wonderful.
So yeah, it actually went amazing. It went so much better than I ever thought it would. Everything kind of came to plan, and that's not common for me. Like, I feel like something always goes wrong when I forgot something. And the most incredible thing and / miracle was I came third. Like, yay!
Hey, you got a bronze.
I know.
Well done.
I can't believe it.
Well done.
I thought that, like, the competition is so tough out there.
They're high quality this year. Every year the border gardens get better, and they're really even pegging this year.
And I just looked, I was like, oh, these ones, like, I knew which ones were going to win. And then I'm like, okay, so I'm definitely not getting first or second. If I was ever going to play something, it'd be third. But, like, who knows? And, yeah.
Well, do you know the criteria, the judging criteria before the event?
Yeah, so we did find out quite close to the event. It was, like, 2 weeks before maybe we got the judging criteria. And one of the things that I was most concerned about, I think I talked about it when I was on last.
Quality of the plants?
Yes.
Pests and diseases.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. I was just checking every single leaf, like, up to when we were, like, bumping in. I was, like, making sure there were not too many caterpillar like nibbles. Had spider mites, which are those ones that are making into the show garden. But yeah, we got there in the end. Yeah.
And your garden, your border garden is themed on your book, Asian Veggie Patch.
Yeah. So, yes, it's basically, I say this at my garden every day, like every 2 seconds. I'm like, hi, welcome to my garden. This is my book in real life. yeah, so it's basically my book, but imagined in real life. It's about like growing Asian veggies, food plants, just in a small space. So at my border garden, it's 2.4 meters by 2.4 meters. And I was able to fit in 30 plus different Asian food plants in there.
How amazing.
Yeah, I didn't think I could do that because in my garden, it's not very neat and not that strategic. But when I was designing this one and putting it together, it really wowed me as well to realize anybody could fit like that many plants in that kind of space. So I've had a lot of people also come up and be like, oh, I didn't realize I could grow so much in, you know, smaller space.
And Connie, you just can't go to your local Bunnings nursery and pick up some of the plants that are in your display. So you had to grow, you grew most of it yourself?
Yeah, I grew most of it myself as much as I could because I couldn't find them in nurseries. So the fruit trees, I didn't grow myself. I just looked after those because my ones had pests on them. gall wasp.
We didn't talk to Trent about the criteria here because holding you back a little bit.
Or maybe it's a secret. I'm not sure. But like all of the shrubs and the ground covers, all of that, I was just propagating and growing them from seed and just growing, hoping for the best.
Yeah. Did you have much support? Like the build looks, the garden looks beautiful.
It does look.
I mean, you couldn't have done that all by yourself.
No, I was so lucky. I have the bestest friends. I actually have one here right now. You can't see because we were on radio, but behind me, I had so many like lovely friends chip in, and my partner / husband. I always say partner. I had like my friends from permaculture class, from my hort studies, and just like all my friends, I would try and name them all, you know, they
go
might be
it.
Listening
no, that's good.
On radio. Well, yep. We have Tom, Ada, Jay, Lisa, Jess, Lorene, Shane. I'm going to feel really bad when I forget someone, but my dad, my parents, they looked after some of my plants because they didn't fit in my carport. Everybody like chipped in. Yeah. And I had 5 people, including me, bumping in during the 2 days as well. So, yeah.
So that's, that's 10 people more.
It's a lot of people, yeah. Oh, and another Jess as well, who painted my street library. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. It was a team effort.
Five
square metres. Yeah. 10 people, 5 square metres. Mm. 5 days?
2 days.
2 days.
Yeah. Border gardens don't have as much bump in time.
Okay. Mm. You've got mosaics on the ground plane, mosaic pavers. Who did the mosaicing?
Oh, me and my friend Lisa. So it was a collection of old plates, a broken vase from another friend, Lorene, what else would I use? Like coasters. And we put them onto pavers with tile adhesive and use some grout. A lot of people actually ask about them. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they are original pieces.
They are originally
Connie's. Yeah. Original Connie's.
Yeah. They're going to go into my garden after this.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
What was the biggest challenge?
Oh, I would say probably the actual like setup of it. The fact that you have to put that in Carlton Gardens. So the logistics. You have only 20 centimetres of height to work with.
Okay.
You have to make sure everything's stable because you can't go into this ground here at the earth. So, for example, I have a street library in my border garden and it was wobbly because, you know, I didn't know how to stabilise it. So during bump-in, 2 of my friends went out and got a concrete paver and brought it back with a drill and had to drill it in.
Right.
Yeah. So
made a footing.
Yeah. So things like that was probably the biggest challenge.
Yeah. The interaction with the people. So you're staffing that every day.
Yeah.
Interpreting the garden, talking about the garden.
Yeah.
What was some of the feedback like?
Oh, I think the most interesting feedback was the fact that you could grow so much, I guess, in such a small space. I had a lot of people ask about some of the plants in the garden that they weren't so familiar with.
Okay.
Probably the most popular ones that I was asked about was the Malabar spinach. It's a vertical feature at the back. a lot of people ask me where to buy a yuzu tree.
Yeah, you've got yuzu and a jujube there too, haven't you?
Yeah, there's a jujube as well. My friend actually took down somebody's number who wanted to buy the yuzu tree after, which, yeah, maybe I'll get in contact. And also, a lot of people were really curious about growing Vietnamese meat in water. Because you don't really see that as a water plant when you buy it in nurseries. You see in the herbs section.
Sure.
Yeah, but it grows really well in water.
Yeah, and if you don't give it enough water and you've got it in a pot, I have done it before. They crisp up almost instantly.
Just within a day.
Grow them in water.
Yeah.
But the Vietnamese mint, you can cut it back really hard and it comes back with vigour.
Yeah, it's one of those plants that just do really well.
Yeah. Well, wonderful.
Connie.
Congratulations on the bronze medal.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
We know you got bump out to do, but, you know, take it easy over the Easter break.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can decompress a bit.
Yeah. I'm thinking, like, I'll take, like, a whole week off and just like, relax. Yeah, it's been full on.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Well.
Very good.
Congratulations. It was, it's lovely to have it was nice to chat with you before, a couple of weeks ago, but really nice to chat with you, you know. At the end of the show, virtually.
Yeah, full circle. Thank you so much.
Terrific, Connie.
Yep.
Good on you.
Beautiful, Connie. Thank you very much. We're going to do a really quick handover. I want to welcome Matt York. We've got we've got like 4 minutes, Matt, before we need to start winding up.
Good morning. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. Thank you for joining us. You've been doing so much media.
Yes.
Because you won the gold medal.
Yes.
The best in show.
Yes.
And the best use of plants.
That's right.
Awards.
Yes. Yeah, we've had a fantastic year.
You've had a very successful year.
Yes.
Collaborating with Karanga Native Nursery and Surf Coast Palms.
Surf Coast Palms as well. And we've also, and Proven Winners as well. And Protea Flora at the 11th hour as well, which was fantastic.
I did see some Proteas, non-Australian Proteas.
Correct.
In there.
Yes.
Give us the elevator pitch for your show garden.
Sure. So the garden's about the restorative power of time in nature. Our client for the garden was Melbourne at 8 million people by 2050, which
that's,
is the
That's projection. Really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think the responsibility not only of small garden design, but our landscape industry in general in servicing that sort of growth and density.
Yeah.
Some of the material that you've got in there, I could see how you want the best use of plant life. The xantharias, the grass trees in there are just beautiful. They're almost the structural element.
Yeah.
They absolutely
all together.
Are.
Yeah.
They became the foundation of the design.
They were the foundation, were they? Yeah.
Absolutely. Cool. And in terms of their placement, but also in terms of them informing the broader plant and material selection, picking up on the blue greys of the Xantharia glaucas, which we know are well over 200 years old.
Yeah, sure.
And of the copper undertones, and then, of course, the black trunk. So that had a profound influence on the entire design.
Sure. Winning best in show, what are some of the criteria that you judged against?
Yeah, so a big component is around the design intent and how that is executed.
Okay.
So that plays a significant role, what your story is and how you tell it through landscape.
Yep.
The construction methodology as well, noting that it is quite theatrical what we do. We aren't allowed to go subsurface given the significant tree root protection in Carlton Gardens.
Sure.
So the construction methodology, how you work with the borrowed landscape, how your garden isn't isolated in itself, that how it does respond broadly to Carlton Garden, be it the plane trees, the exhibition buildings or other components.
The slope,
so my site in particular, which is known as a little bit of the, I think designers have a love-hate with my site.
because of the slope?
Yeah.
It's a peninsula.
It really is. And it's got a three-way crossfall. It's got two path networks. It kind of nestles into that path nexus. So, it's a beauty. I love
it. It's a ripper.
Yeah. And you would know every square inch of that site. Yeah.
1051 crossfall across the front. It's etched in my mind.
Matt, I'm sorry, we're going to have to wrap this up because we need to start wrapping up.
Fair.
Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Congratulations on the garden that you put together. We're native plant nuts, so we love it a lot.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Really good.
Nice work. I hopefully see you next year.
You may see me here in the show.
Yeah.
In the show.
Yeah.
On the show. On the show.
On the show.
On the show.
At the show.
We'll get you.
Well, congratulations, mate. Thanks for dropping in.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate
good on you.
Well, we've come to the end of the 3CR Gardening Show.
Thanks, Matt.
Live at Carlton Gardens for the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show. It's been a massive team effort bringing this to air this morning. We'd like to take a minute to mention special thanks to Madison Moffat,
for setting everything up this morning, getting here super early. Andy McLaughlin in the studio, Doug Humbert in the studio.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, guys. To Di McKenzie for keeping everything running behind the scenes here. Good John Arnott, thanks for rocking up this morning. Couldn't do it without you.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Been a lot of fun.
Yeah. To all the listeners, thank you for messaging in, saying you've been loving the show. We're going to try to do it again next year. It's been an absolute barrel of laughs this morning. It has flown by.
It has really gone quick.
The show is open until 5 p.m. today. There's still so much stuff here. The show gardens are still looking amazing. Please do come. The floral displays are still looking beautiful too. Everything's fresh.
Are the prices dropped towards the back end?
The afternoon ticket price drops.
No.
And
individual stalls.
Yeah, the stalls start putting stuff up for sale. It's a really good day to come.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good day to come. So we do encourage it. If you see John and I wandering around, come say hi.
Say good day. And look, we had a range of people through this morning.
To Pia, Susanna, Matt, Jane, Trent and Connie for making the show happen this morning too.
And for coming in early on a Sunday morning at the end of the show.
Yeah, everyone's super tired. We really appreciate it. We need to sign off now. Thank you very much to everyone. We'll be back again in the studio next Sunday morning.
I think it's Virginia.
Virginia,
yep.
With Craig and Ben,
yep.
All going well. Signing off. See you later, guys.
See you, folks.
We're back in the studio. That was the gardening team finishing off at their live broadcast at the Melbourne International Flower and Gardening Show. What a great show it was too. At the Melbourne Exhibition Centre in the Carlton Gardens, thanks to Chloe Foster, Virginia Haywood and John Arnott, and a pat on the back to the tech team, Madison and Annie, and the producer, Doug. Stay tuned to 3CR for alternative news coming up next.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.